Distribution of the BBC World Service in the U.S. is made possible by American Public Media, producer and distributor of award-winning public radio content. APM, American Public Media, with support from Magoosh, online test prep for GRE, GMAT, ACT, and SAT. Staying at home is a great time to prepare for something new with self-guided lessons and support. Magoosh.com.
Thanks for listening to 91.5 WBEZ. As our newsroom and NPR continue to cover the impact of coronavirus in Chicago and the world, here are a few good online resources. You can find the latest at wbez.org/coronavirus. For general information and advisories affecting Illinois, visit cdc.gov/coronavirus. And stay with 91.5 WBEZ for the latest news.
On the BBC World Service in just a few minutes.
I used to dread mealtime because that was the most difficult part of the day, you know. It was very, very lonely.
I'm Tamsin Ford, and on The Food Chain this week, how does being a single parent influence your and your children's relationship with food? We explore the isolation, the responsibility, the finances, but also food's power to create unique bonds. After the news.
BBC News, I'm John Shea. International leaders will hold talks later today aimed at raising aid for Lebanon following the devastating explosion in Beirut on Tuesday. The video conference is being coordinated by France and the United Nations. The disaster is thought to have killed more than 150 people and caused up to $15 billion worth of damage. A Grand Council of Elders in Afghanistan has approved the release of 400 controversial Taliban prisoners, hoping the move will bring progress in peace talks. The government has already complied with Taliban demands to release several thousand other prisoners. Belarusians are voting in a presidential election which is expected to present a genuine challenge to the authoritarian incumbent Alexander Lukashenko. The opposition campaign has garnered unprecedented support across the country. Sri Lanka's former leader, Mahinda Rajapaksa, has been sworn in as Prime Minister by his brother, the current President, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, following his party's landslide victory in this week's parliamentary elections. Critics question their record on human rights and respect for the rule of law. The mayor of the Japanese city of Nagasaki has urged the government to take more action towards eradicating the world's nuclear weapons. It's exactly 75 years since a US atomic bomb destroyed the city, killing more than 70,000 people. At least 30 people in South Korea have been killed, and thousands of others have been forced to flee their homes after weeks of torrential rain. In the southwestern regions, major rivers have burst their banks, flooding homes and farmlands. And at least seven people have died in southern India after a fire at a temporary hospital built to treat coronavirus patients. An inquiry has been ordered into the cause of the blaze, which came as India recorded more than 64,000 new cases of the virus, another new record for a single day. BBC News.
I used to dread mealtime because, you know, I mean, that was the most difficult part of the day, you know, just, it was very, very lonely. I mean, becoming a mother is lonely, and becoming a single mother is even lonelier.
Parents the world over have any number of reasons to worry about mealtimes with their children. Are they eating enough? The right things? Or too often looking at a screen while they do it? But when you're dealing with those dilemmas on your own, that can create a very different dinner time dynamic. I'm Tamsin Ford, and I grew up in a single parent home and am now a single mom of two, a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old. When they were younger, we would have dinner together around their blue plastic play table. It was perfect for them, not so much for me though. So I often wonder how life might be different at mealtimes with two adults in the house. This week on The Food Chain from the BBC World Service, I'm asking, how does being a single parent influence your relationship with food and also your child's.
Sometimes I didn't have enough money to feed the two of us, so I skipped meals as long as Sam had his breakfast, had his lunch, had his dinner.
For some lone parents, finances dominate everything to do with food. The sole responsibility for cooking, shopping, and organising food can also take their toll. But there are challenges when it comes to co-parenting too.
If we get into the don't tell your dad, oh my God, you know, it's just a hot mess. I do not win in that scenario. And so I just try to get on board with him as much as I can.
I've brought together three parents from different parts of the world to talk about their experiences of feeding their children without another adult in the home. The isolation, the monotony, but also the extreme closeness that often arises out of single parenthood, and how food can strengthen it.
Hi, I'm Nefertiri Plessy. I am the mother of Elijah, who is 13 years old, and Xavier, who is 10 years old. I'm in Santa Monica, California, in the United States.
Hi, I'm Billy McGranigan, and I live in London, and my son Sam is 32.
Hi, my name is Selma, and I'm the mother of a 4-year-old boy. His name is Jose, and we live in Madrid, Spain.
Selma, you've been a single parent since Jose was born. For you, then, what has been your biggest challenge?
You don't get a break. You can't just not be a parent at all. Every day is your turn, and with food, with sleeping time, with everything. You get used to it, I think. I mean, it would have been more difficult for me if I didn't start as a single parent right away, because, I mean, sometimes if you're used to help, and then all of a sudden the help is gone, you have to adjust all over again. But I think I adapted to just having the responsibility all the time.
And do you eat together?
Well, I have something light with him to keep him company, but he eats much better and faster, and, you know, he finishes his meal if he watches something for dinner time.
Okay, so having some sort of screen there helps him eat.
Yeah. But for lunch, the screen is out of the question. We have lunch together. We're from Lebanon, so in my culture, we normally have lunch together. We used to do that in my with my parents, and now I try to keep that with my son.
And Billy, your son is obviously grown up now, but can you think back to what it was like when you became a single parent, when Sam was just 12 months old?
Yeah, it was the most horrifying experience of my life. I didn't know how to cook. I had no idea how to cook. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, just to learn the basics of cooking, making porridge, and just making baby food, you know, buying baby food and heating things up. But at the end of the day, it turned out Sam would actually eat anything.
So you're one of the lucky ones, actually.
I really am. And I think it boils down to just the two of us being in the same household, you know. So really what Sam ate, I ate, you know. And I think when we eat together and we sleep together and we play together, we just get bonded, and food is a great bonder for families.
But what was it like to suddenly have that complete responsibility for mealtimes? Because I think that's something that's fairly unique to single parent families, this idea that it's you and it's only you. Is there a monotony that you felt, or psychologically, did you find that hard?
I mean, from my experience, I mean, to this day, I genuinely do not like cooking. And it's something that I had to learn. And it's something that's so important. But it's also your responsibility when you've got the little ones. And you want them to be healthy, and you want them to know about good food. You know, where when I was younger, I particularly didn't mind eating anything, but I wanted my son to be more aware of how many sugars that are in a drink and how to make a cake. As it got to like 4 or 5, we would bake together, you know. And for me, that was important because I didn't do that with my family when I was younger, you know. So I think whether it's baking or whether it's making a spaghetti bolognese, if you do something together, children would love to cook.
And Nefertari, you co-parent your boys with their father. So while you don't have sole responsibility for their food intake, this must bring up other issues when it comes to food and mealtimes.
Definitely, mostly because their father wants them to eat in a particular way. And I do too, but I think he's definitely more strict around what they eat. And so, you know, when you co-parent and you want to have peace of mind and sleep at night without a headache, you definitely want to get on the same page as much as you possibly can. And you don't want the children to see that there's a separation in how one household is ran from the other, because it's almost like you're working 3 times as hard. I would even say more than double. It's like 3 times as hard, you know, if the kids know that they can get their way at mom's house or they can get their way at dad's house and you guys aren't on the same team, it can just be a big mess.
Yeah, that does complicate things. So is there a meal that you might give them, you know, if you don't have so much time or something, where you're like, don't tell your dad?
Oh my gosh. You know, if we get into the don't tell your dad, oh my God, you know, it's just a hot mess. I do not win in that scenario. And then the kids feel like they can kind of sneak.
Yeah.
And I try my best not to create that atmosphere, because we had that at one point where I was just like, you know, you guys can eat whatever you want. You're at my house. And he took offense to that because he's like, well, I want them to eat a particular way for their health. And so I just try to get on board with him as much as I can.
So you're the peacemaker, basically.
I am definitely the peacemaker, you know. I don't like arguing, you know. I'm like, if you want the kids to eat a particular way, just tell me what to buy, or you buy it and bring it here, you know. If they'll eat it, I'll cook it.
I want to turn to this idea of, is a meal in a single parent household? A colleague of mine was brought up by her mum. It was just the two of them. And one thing that struck her was that a meal was never really an event in her home in the same way it was for other families. It was simply about eating rather than it being an occasion and you all sat down together. Selma, as a single parent of one, can you relate to that?
I can, but before, much more than now, because before we used to just sit there and eat and just stare at each other, really. But then, I don't know, since he turned 3, I think since he started speaking, really, now we sit and we, you know, we speak and we eat and we talk about things, and it gets much better. It used to be very awkward in the beginning, I mean, just us eating. Really, just eating, not doing anything else.
Was there an element of loneliness then to mealtimes with Jose when he was little?
Yeah, because you get nothing from them at all. I mean, they refuse your food, they don't talk to you, they throw your food on the floor, and you just cry at the end, you know?
Yeah, but literally cry at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, right there while they say no to the food and where they push their plate and they say, why, I you know, I prepared this for you, and then, you know, it's, I give up at the end, and that was the most difficult part of the day, you know, just trying to convince him to eat and me eating on my own and just putting food in my mouth, not because I enjoyed it or anything. Very, very lonely. I mean, becoming a mother is lonely, and becoming a single mother is even lonelier, especially when it comes to food, you know, when meals, and it's very frustrating. I mean, I used to dread mealtime because, you know, I mean, I hardly ate during the day because of this situation, and then when he goes to bed, I would just stuff my face with the worst junk food in the world, you know. but it does get better as they grow. It gets much better.
Did that make you fall out of love with food?
It did. I used to, you know, food is one of my passions, really, you know. But during the first 2 years of Jose's life, and a bit of the third year too, I mean, I ate as a, you know, comfort eating, for comfort only. And I felt so bad afterwards, and just my whole attitude towards food and meals and cooking and eating, it was very difficult. But it's coming back now. I mean, I enjoy cooking again, and I enjoy having meals with him.
Nefertari, you grew up in a single-parent family too. It was just you and your mum, like Salma and Jose. Can you relate now that you're a parent and a single parent, to what it must have been like for your mum when you were little?
Definitely. My mom was just trying to keep me happy, you know, at mealtime. You know, she usually would cook two meals. She'd have the meal that she would eat. I was a picky eater. You know, I would have to say I was a little bit of a terror when it came to what I would eat and what I wouldn't. I didn't make it easy for her.
And it does make you understand how, you know, rather than spending that hour making this new healthy chickpea lentil delicious dinner, just opting for cheesy pasta because you know they'll eat it and they'll love it, and you know, you just don't have the time or the energy.
I agree. I think my mom leaned in on, you know, what are those five things that she knows at the end of working, because my mom worked full time, and so we were tight on money and she was also tight on time. And so when you're in that kitchen, you don't want to try to make a meal your kid's not going to eat. She's tired. You know, she wanted to lay down and take a bath and just take a minute to herself, too.
Money and time seem to really be the big issues when it comes to food and feeding your children as a single parent. But these are also issues for dual-headed households where possibly both parents work. But Salma, how do you think time and money play out differently for a single parent?
I have less of both, really, you know. I mean, when you're working, you just have the time when your kid is with you, so you have to do all the cooking while looking after them or just putting them in front of the TV. And then with money, it's exactly the same. You know, I'm one income, but one less person to eat, so that works out well.
So that's the positive, and, you know, I guess. And what about during the pandemic? Did you find you had more time during lockdown? And how did that change mealtimes in your home for you and Jose?
Oh, we ate constantly. we were baking all the time and eating what we baked and then baking again and then, you know, meals. And no, but the good thing was, you know, I had to be creative because, I mean, we're at home all day and I had to come up with new ideas. So we started cooking together much, much often. Involving him in the cooking has had a great effect on him. I mean, he's learning something, a life skill that, you know, I mean, most boys don't learn at all. And, you know, he eats much better when he helps with the cooking, and we bond. We really bond a lot while cooking, and it's relaxing for both of us.
And Nefertari, for you, is money or is it time that's a bigger challenge for you when it comes to feeding your boys, who are nearly both teenagers now?
I would say that it's money and time. I mean, they could eat you out of house and home. It's just like, I can't be in the kitchen all day, because it can become that, especially having boys, you know, pubescent boys. My little one, he'll eat that meal and he'll be like, okay, so what are you cooking for dinner? I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
One thing I haven't yet explored as a single parent is going out to a restaurant with my kids. Aside from the financial side to this, I just don't think it'll be much fun with my 4 and 5 year old. And I always think it must be so much harder for single parents. But interestingly, Salma, you go out to restaurants quite a lot with your son, Jose, and actually created a budget for restaurant eating. Why was this an important thing for you?
Because, I mean, weekends were a very depressing time. I mean, I had to do something about the weekend to just make it different, because I'm not from here and my whole family is somewhere else, and I just can't spend the weekend like any other day. And part of that was trying to go to restaurants. This is an activity that I really enjoy, and if my son is the only one I can go to a restaurant with, then this is what I will do. And he likes it too, because now sometimes if we're walking around or coming back home or going somewhere, he goes, you know what, I'm hungry, let's sit at this restaurant. You know, he's developing a taste for restaurants now, and I can't afford that. We go occasionally, you know.
Billy, turning to you, when we spoke before the program, you talked about how you would often skip meals so that your son Sam could eat when he was small. How big a reality is that for other single parents out there?
Oh, that's a huge reality, and it's something that if you're living in a big city where if I was self-employed, so the money I was getting was just going on rent, and London is high rents. So sometimes I didn't have enough money to feed the two of us. So I skipped meals as long as Sam had his breakfast, had his lunch, had his dinner. So it's something that a lot of mums and dads out there, single parents, do go without to make sure that the children don't. And it's something that has to be highlighted on food poverty.
Did any of that make you view food differently?
Oh, absolutely. Food was a means to an end. Eat when you're hungry, you know.
It was more about sustenance than a meal.
Yeah, absolutely, you know, because at the end of the day, I didn't have time. And during school holidays, sometimes I was terrified on, goodness, I don't have enough cash to last all day. And again, I'm tidying, I'm cleaning, I'm working, I'm fixing things around the house. There's not enough time in the day, you know, for a mum or a dad. And as the girl said, it's a lonely experience, yeah. You know. But you learn to cope, you learn to adapt, and you eventually find what works for you.
Let's talk about Dad's House, the charity you set up in London in 2008, where you provide lots of things, as well as cooking classes for dads. You have 2 food banks in London. So you really know the issues for single parents, especially in recent months during the pandemic.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we started to deliver food to families, and that's when we see the devastation that was going on in households up and down London. We had over 600 people, families a day queuing for one of our food banks in South London. And it's something that it breaks your heart when you do talk to a single mum, single dad, or any parent when they say they don't have enough food, you know. So the reality of the shutdown all over the world was devastating. It's kind of getting back to normal, but it's something that you never ever want to see again in your lifetime.
And as a single dad yourself, and someone who knows a lot of single dads through your charity, are there different challenges you face compared to single mothers when it comes to food?
But I mean, going back to Dad's House, I set up a breakfast club, and it was a dads and kids breakfast club. And that is amazing, because there's not too many places where a dad and his children can go to and meet other dads and just relax and play the guitar or read a book, and they learn how to eat together, they learn how to socialise, you know. So it's something that's so important that dads can see how other dads react to their children. There's very little support mechanisms out there for dads.
One thing single parents may have to navigate at some stage in their lives is embarking on a new relationship and how that works with mealtimes and your children. And Selma, you've recently started a new relationship, and I know your partner also has a son the same age as Jose. And in my mind, as a single parent, that sounds like the perfect scenario. But what challenges does that bring up when it comes to food and mealtimes?
Well, I mean, as a single mom, I make all the decisions about food myself. And then if another element is added to the family, and then you have different parenting styles and different food habits and eating habits, and it's not as romantic or as, you know, fairy tale-like as it sounds, to be honest.
So food is something actually that you do argue about then in your new relationship?
Oh yeah, it's one of the most popular argument topics. You know, it's very difficult to change my ways. I'm a bit stubborn, to be honest, and it's very, very difficult.
There's one question that I wanted to ask you all, and you might have to think a little bit before you answer it. Nefertari, let's start with you. What do you think your kids would say about your cooking?
My kids would say that they love my cooking. And I think that they love it because I've mastered the 5 to 7 things that they love to eat.
Selma, what about you? What would Jose say about your cooking?
Well, I'm not sure he would say it's tasty or delicious. I've made peace with that too. You know, but he would definitely say it's healthy, because I'm obsessed with healthy, and so now he asks me all the time, is it okay to eat this one? Is this one healthy? He would definitely say my mom makes healthy food, but I'm not sure about the taste.
You're not sure whether he actually likes it.
Yeah, but well, it's the that's what he will get.
You're good with that. And Billy, you've already told us that you were never a good cook, and then you learnt how to cook and you still weren't a good cook, and now you still don't enjoy cooking. So what would Sam, your 32-year-old boy Sam, say about your cooking?
Sam would say, Dad, it was a memory. Don't give up your day job.
A good memory.
You know, absolutely, you know, because it's regardless of how little or how much we had or hadn't, we were in it together. It was us against the world.
Almost it for this week. Many thanks to Billy McGranigan, Selma Abdo and Nefertari Plessy. We couldn't say goodbye though without hearing what their cooking is really like, so we asked their children. First Selma's son Jose, and then Nefertari's two boys.
Sometimes I don't like it, sometimes I like it. Potatoes, eggs. I don't like peas.
My name is Elijah, and my favorite dish that my mom cooks is her French toast, because it's soft and very sweet, and I like sweet things. The thing I don't like about my mom's cooking is when she makes the oatmeal too watery.
Hi, my name is Xavier, and the thing that I don't like about my mom's cooking is that she burns the toast in the oven.
That really is it for this week. Do let us know what you think about the show. You can email thefoodchain@bbc.co.uk or get in touch with me on Twitter @Tamasin_Ford. Next week, I'm investigating why so many meat processing plants have become coronavirus hotspots. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss it. Just search for BBC Food Chain wherever you get your podcasts. From me and the rest of the team, Sarah Stollars and Simon Tulett, thanks for listening and join us again next week.